It was in 1892 when Pope Leo XIII wanted to promote devotion and worship to the Holy Family. And later on, Pope Benedict XV instituted this feast that today we celebrate for the universal calendar for the whole church. So it's a relatively new feast. However, the church wishes to ardently promote in these days devotion to the Holy Family and prayerful meditation and consideration of this feast due to the great evils that we see, in particular in the unceasing and parallel attacks on the family life as its very foundation. I'm sure you read what happened in Florida these last days, the state of Florida. In fact, the church wishes to place such importance on this feast that she places it on the first Sunday after the celebration of Christmas and Epiphany, so as to connect it with the very mystery of the incarnation of the Word made flesh. Not just simply made flesh, but as we read on the octave of Christmas, made from a woman, from a virgin mother, espoused to Saint Joseph, and thus made from a family. But he chose a family as the instrument of salvation. The family then is an image of the Holy Trinity. It reflects the Trinitarian love of God towards its creatures. In God we find a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the wisdom of God, the family on earth represents this community of persons, such as in the event of the Annunciation, when we see in the Gospel of St. Luke that it appears the Father, who sends the Archangel St. Gabriel, to announce that he will send his only begotten Son to be conceived in the Blessed Virgin, and that this will take place through the action of the Holy Spirit. When the Blessed Virgin Mary accepts, "Be done unto me according to thy word, fiat mihi," a new society begins, a human family among human families, which is at one and at the same time an ideal of an earthly trinity. The image then of the Holy Family that we contemplate in the manger is not just simply for us, and it shouldn't be for us, a nice picture of a bucolic scene of a manger. Rather, should inspire hope in each one of us, since the Holy Family, as Pope Leo XIII pointed out, is destined to be a pattern for all others, that all men therein might behold a perfect model, as well of domestic life, as of every virtue and pattern of holiness. For such, indeed, was the Holy Family at Nazareth. What hope must this inspire in us? To have a family is to undertake a supernatural work, if it is truly a Catholic one. O Christian family, recognize your dignity, says St. John Paul II. The increase of the kingdom of God depends on you. If we have a model and school of virtues in the Holy Family, at first impression would be that they were sinless. When we contemplate the three persons, well, they were sinless, very holy, therefore it would have been easier for them. The answer to this is that they were sinless because they cooperated with God's grace through humble obedience. This is indeed the virtue that we learn from today's gospel. Obedience that will make families holy, and the church wishes to place before our eyes in the Holy Family today, obedience, as the gospel ends with the astonishing words, "And he was subject to them." Obedience is a living example in the roles of the Holy Family. Pope Leo XIII states that to all fathers of a family, Joseph is the best model for paternal vigilance and care. In the Most Holy Virgin Mother of God, mothers may find an excellent example of love, modesty, and the perfecting of faith through resignation of spirit. And finally, the children of the family find in Jesus, in the Divine Infant, a pattern of obedience which they can imitate. The life of wisdom itself, reminded hidden from the eyes of men through the humble solitude of family life, each one of the models lived in perfect obedience to God's plan. Humility and obedience. See, how many times when we read the Gospels, we're reading only about the 3 last years of the public ministry of Christ. But what happened throughout those 30 years? Family life. Family life. Humble solitude of family life. As a result of that obedience as a virtue, which perfects human nature, unites us to God through the fulfillment of the vocation given to us, and then we become, as they did, holy and happy. Saint Joseph is that just man who hid in the silence the mystery he did not understand when the Blessed Virgin Mary became pregnant. The Gospel says, and he was minded to put her away privately. He knew, all he knew, Saint Joseph, was that she was involved in a mystery whose solution lay with God from him, and we learned the ability to listen to the voice of God in prayer. As a father at the home of Nazareth, he taught the divine infant first and most of all the obligations to God, as the first obedience, which is to the law of God, obeying the commandments. Joseph taught Jesus by his example, by his bearing, and it was Joseph who early on the Sabbath took the child to the synagogue and initiated him into the ritual, the attendance at church with the father of the family, the best living example that we give to the family as a father, such as was Saint Joseph. It was Saint Joseph who taught the divine infant how to pray, since in Israel the obligation to do so belonged first of all to the father of the families and continues to be so like that, since the father should lead prayers at home in imitation to this just man modeled in the Bible. He taught him the proverbs of his race, the history and traditions of his people. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, we read in the Gospels? The day finally came when Joseph led the child Jesus and taught him how to use the tools himself, working side by side. He learned to sew boards, to fit parts together, to polish wood. Joseph taught him the importance of work in order to guide and raise up a family. While in Bethlehem we learn about the necessity of detachment and renunciation, in Nazareth we learn the dignity of labor and its value as a means of sanctification and redemption. Bishop Sheen, Fulton Sheen, talks about the nature of man as someone who can accomplish easily a heroic act, and in one particular instance, such as St. Joseph did, at trying to find out a place in the inn, and also the flight from Egypt. While a woman is capable of more sustained sacrifice than the man, those two compares of these two natures, Fulton Sheen compares the different types of mothers with an analogy of the gospel of the parable of the good seed. The seed that falls where the soil was good yields a harvest, some 100-fold. As the bearer of seed, she throws herself completely in God, saying with Mary, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." The submission of the land to seed is passive, although the earth must now undergo the sacrifice of digging and harrowing. In women, the submission is sacrificial. The Blessed Mother knew that her son could become a sign of contradiction. At the prophecy of Simeon, all her joy turned into sorrow. The exterior ritual of the presentation of the child in the temple represented an interior submission to the will of God by rendering the child as a victim for the redemption of many. Thus, the Blessed Mother is called Queen of Saints and Martyrs. That action shows us the essence of obedience. When we give up our own will to do the will of another, we offer then the most pleasing sacrifice to God. Isn't motherhood heroic through the years, months, and even seconds of daily life, the very repetition of household duties? That is done in cooperation with the grace of God as the soil which represents the soul that needs the sacrifice of watering and digging. Finally, we read from St. Paul, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." The divine child at home, as an apprentice, did not do anything without asking Joseph's advice. He showed docility to his father's teaching. He was subject to them, as we learned from today's gospel. He did nothing except in entire dependence upon them. He always showed them deference and respect. He foresaw their needs, and with devoutness, he hurried to serve them. The honor he paid Joseph was religious, filial, since he saw the image of his father in heaven. When we obey our superiors in every legitimate command, they represent an image of God, since God is the source of all authority. We will find this yoke easy and burden light if we consider those whom we obey as in the place of God Himself, as is truly the case when their authority is legitimate. Family life is not easy. Such is every community of people together. However, we look at the Holy Family and ask for their intercession. St. Joseph, as a model for Christians to whom Pope Leo XIII wrote, "We come to you in our afflictions, O blessed Joseph, in order that helped by your example and intercession, we may live in a holy way." We should examine our conscience today. Do we say with the devil, "I will not serve, do what you wilt," or with Our Lady, "Be done unto me according to thy word"? Upon our response to this call to be obedient, it depends the peaceful and our family life, our own personal response. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous. So it takes one example. We lead by example, each one in family life. And then we will help that community as a community of the Holy Trinity in faithfulness, in humility and obedience. We ask this grace to the Holy Family today when we visit the manger the last Sunday before now the time of Christmas ends. We ask for their intercession to Blessed St. Joseph, the Blessed Mother, and our Lord and Savior as a divine infant. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.